Let's turn in our Bibles this evening to 2 Thessalonians 2. I'm going to read the first 8 verses from the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 to 8. Let's hear now God's holy word. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Let's turn to the Lord now in prayer. Our Father, we pray for your light upon this passage and how it indeed connects with Daniel. We see, O Lord, there is already parallels between the man of sin and Antiochus, but what about the restrainer? Give us understanding of these things, Lord, that it may give to us confidence and hope in even difficult times of persecution. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been studying for the last 2 weeks who is the angel Michael. And we understand that he is distinguished from the other angels in Daniel 12, verse 1, and called the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. He's the only angel referred to as the archangel in Scripture. That's Jude 9. In Revelation 12 and 7, he is portrayed as the defender of the saints, with his heavenly angels warring against Satan and his fallen angels. Now today we want to continue our study of Michael and how God employs the archangel in bringing his people safely to the final day. As we open Daniel's prophecy in Daniel 12, verse 1, we see the prince of God's people standing watch over them. He says, "At that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book." So we had given some foretaste of what exactly it is that Michael does. When we went into Daniel 10 and the beginning of Daniel 11, and the angel came to Daniel while he was praying and revealed to him that he was detained. He was detained for 3 weeks, 21 days, while Daniel prayed and got no answer. And the reason was he was resisted by the angel in Persia. But it was Michael who came to his aid and upheld him against that angel. And then in chapter 11, verse 1, he says it's only Michael that supports him in his resistance and in the protection of Israel. And so we find then that the councils against the Jews to prevent their return to their own land that were caused by an evil angel influencing the minds or the councils of Persian government had finally been defeated. And the conclusion is that Cyrus then set free the Jews to return back to their homeland and rebuild their temple. But now let's see how this coincides with Michael and the last days. Because it seems as though there's a shifting of gears from chapter 11 to chapter 12 when it talks about Michael. As Michael had a role in ensuring the return of the Jews from captivity, so he will have a similar role in preparing for the return of Christ and the deliverance of God's people from a great time of trouble. What we have here is something that involved a lot of research this week. Had to go back into the Hebrew and make comparisons and question one commentator versus another. I was amazed at how few actually touched on this subject. Amath is the Hebrew word, or Al-Ho-Amath is the word also. And it means he stands before, he stands against, he restrains to protect. That's basically what it means. And that's what Michael is doing. In Daniel 10:13, right up to 11:1, it's the angel telling Daniel about the resistance that he had and how it was Michael that upheld him through that. And then in chapter 11, verse 2, he elaborates and goes into a whole cycle of international conflict and defeats and conspiracies and so on, ultimately ending up with Antiochus Epiphanes rising up. And then it seems to move from Antiochus to another who was Antiochus-like, who we think is probably jumping ahead to the Antichrist. And then suddenly in chapter 12, it goes back to Daniel. And what seems to be indicated here is that chapter 11 kind of is an explanation of the historical occurrences, but the common connection is Michael. Chapter 10 is Michael, and chapter 11:1 is Michael, and then chapter 12 picks up with Michael doing the same thing. But Michael in chapter 10 is helping the angel against the Persians and upholding him. But chapter 12 is Michael upholding all Israel, God's people. In the context of chapter 11 and the beginning of chapter 11, it is Michael upholding this angel against the conspiracies of evil angels, so that indeed God's people could be set free after 70 years of captivity. But in chapter 12, it's God's people in a different context. It's God's people in a time of trouble, such as never has ever occurred in the history of God's people. And that is what immediately will precede the resurrection of all God's people. All people, in fact. And whosever name is written in the book of life, that person is saved. So we see Michael is the common element here. These two events taking place in two separate incidents of history point to us this fact, that what Israel went through during the Maccabean Wars and what was involved in the establishment of God's people free from the captivity of Babylon connects directly to the last days. Except in the last days, it doesn't say Israel particularly, it says the sons of God's people. Of course, Daniel would think of it as Israel, as the Jews. But the point of it is that all whose names are written in the book of life are included among those that Michael comes to the support of during a great time of trouble. Antiochus Epiphanes was the time of the Jews suffering. The period before the resurrection is the Great Tribulation, in which the son of perdition, Antichrist, will rise up in power. Now, the word that is of most interest here is Amath, as I mentioned, or Al-Hamath, and it indicates a protective resistance, upholding, restraining the enemy. And that's what that's what Michael did against Antiochus Epiphanes. It is what Michael did against the evil angels in Persia. And it is what Michael does in the last days before the resurrection. Now, this is very interesting. Some people think, of course, chapter 12, verse 1 talks about the time of trouble as being the same thing that was elaborated on in chapter 11. It can't be. Because chapter 12, verse 1 talks about a time of trouble that is greater than has ever taken place or ever shall take place. And we know that as wicked and severe as Antiochus Epiphanes, it nowhere approximated the sufferings that Jews went, for instance, under Rome, and what indeed shall take place in the last days. Jesus in Matthew 24:21 talks about a greater suffering such as ever had befallen the world. And so it's not referring to the same incident as the Maccabean Wars against Antiochus Epiphanes. It is a separate event. But the interesting thing is, yet they are connected. They are so well connected, you can hardly get a hair's breadth in between the speaking of the one and then speaking of the other. And why is that? Because they are so parallel. Because ultimately, the hope of Israel's freedom from Antiochus Epiphanes is, in fact, the resurrection of the last day. We've spoken of the prophetic perspective and how prophets, when they look ahead, they see mountaintops, but they don't see the valleys in between and cannot tell the vast distance that lies between the valleys. But God thinks thematically. Our ultimate hope is the resurrection. The deliverance is only a foretaste of the resurrection. The deliverance from Antiochus indeed was giving us understanding for preparation for the resurrection. It's all connected. And which generation you're talking about, it's the same battle. Ultimately, though, it is, in fact, that resurrection that we look forward to. And who is it then that is standing guard over God's people during all this time? It is Michael. Now, this is interesting because if Michael then is upholding us and protecting us by restraining the enemy, then is Michael himself the restrainer that I just read about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? And now you know what is restraining, verse 6, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one shall come. In fact, then, let's understand this. Paul is talking about the son of perdition. Paul is talking about this man of sin who sits himself in the temple and declares that he is God. Why, that sounds like Antiochus Epiphanes, history repeating itself. But this restrainer is going to be taken out of the way. Michael came to the aid of Israel, and through the Maccabean Wars, Israel was delivered, even though it was through a terrible time of tribulation. This restrainer will be taken away from the man of sin, the future Antiochus, the Antichrist, the son of perdition. And so it makes us wonder, what is the similarity? Well, the similarity is in the word itself. Restrainer means to hold down. He's holding down the mystery of iniquity. He is resisting and he is protecting. That's what he is doing. And he's doing so in the context of a falling away, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, so that the restrainer has actually then being pulled back. And Paul says that this one who has been restraining and resisting the evil one and the power will be taken out of the way so that this future Antiochus Epiphanes, this future Antichrist, can rise up without restraint. He won't be stopped. Wow, that's very parallel, you know, to the picture in Revelation 20 when the devil is himself bound for 1,000 years. And then he is released in order that he may deceive the nations. Unrestrained. Well, this is what Paul is talking about that's going to happen in the time of the end just before Jesus Christ comes. Is Michael, therefore, the restrainer who will be taken out of the way at the end during the Great Tribulation? Well, most people think that the restrainer is referring to the Holy Spirit. In fact, the New King James Version capitalizes the restrainer as though he is God, and he is capitalized and referred to as a he in verse 7. However, The Holy Spirit is not typically spoken of in the neuter, and that's really what it says. It is not he who is restraining. Literally, it is in verse 6. It is what is restraining. Nor is the Holy Spirit typically pictured as directly restraining evil in Scripture, or a hands-on wrestling directly with demonic powers, as seems to be portrayed here. Now, true, the Spirit does play a counterforce role to Satan, according to John. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And certainly he's referring to the Holy Spirit. But in this context, in this reference, it's the Spirit's influence on believers, giving us the ability to overcome the adversary for our personal lives. That's what Jesus is referring to. But in the future, or when the man of sin rises up, it speaks of the Holy Spirit as being taken away. Now, dispensationalists refer to this as what takes place during the great rapture, the secret rapture. And this is what I heard from my youth, that when Jesus Christ comes in the rapture, he will take away all the saints from the world, and there goes the Holy Spirit too. So the world has no longer the Holy Spirit. And that's the interpretation they get from that. And during the tribulation, the Jews will be converted and they will turn to Christ. I'm scratching my head. How can they possibly turn to Christ unless there is a witness to testify of Christ? And who is that witness that testifies of Christ but the Holy Spirit? So that cannot be. But on the other hand, Michael and his army of angels, well, they fit the criteria that's being described there in 2 Thessalonians 2. Michael is viewed in Scripture as the archenemy of Satan, the counterforce to Satan. In Revelation 12:7, it was Michael and his angels that went to war against the devil, the dragon, that is. It was in Jude verse 9 that Michael is portrayed as contesting with the devil over the body of Moses. But what what Paul refers to as what is restraining, well, Michael is an angel and should be in the masculine. But what is restraining is the army, the angelic army, angels that follow him. That's what's restraining, under the oversight, under the command of Michael the archangel. And the commander, he who restrains, is in the masculine. So Paul is clearly saying this, I think anyway, that Michael and his army of military angelic powers has been restraining the devil and the powers of evil and the forces so they could not gather together again in this world. And such has happened since Jesus Christ died and Rome crumbled. And so he has been working in power with his angels. But at the end, his army, will be taken out of the way, and he, the commander who restrains, will be taken out of the way. What does that mean for the restrainer to be taken out of the way then? It means that he will cease his restraining activity. That's a nightmare to consider. How dependent we have been on the government of God under Christ. He will be stepping out of the way from what though? From protecting us? From protecting God's people? No. No, he will be stepping away from a warring mode as the restrainer of evil angel princes, and he will stand with the saints during the time of tribulation. Going back to Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, he shall stand up, and even though there is times of great trouble, everyone whose name is written in the book will be saved. The picture here is that Michael's stand is going to accompany the time of trouble, but he will not restrain the time of trouble. He will protect the people who have to undergo those times. And though they will not be protected from persecution, as Israel wasn't protected under Antiochus for a while, though there is a falling away, as Paul describes here in 2 Thessalonians 2, he will ensure that everyone whose name is written in the book of life will be saved. And so Michael will bear them through the tribulation in their solidarity and yet their confinement. This explains and pictures a scene that had taken place for many years under Roman dominion early on, how the Christians had to meet in undergrounds and in the catacombs and out in the fields and at night. This is the way they had been. And this is how it was. They were so isolated, so small, so weak, and yet the Spirit of God was poured out in them, and they were protected. Though many laid down their lives, yet they became like a seed sown in a field in its own time for the power of Christ to come through, and the gospel's unrestrained power would burst and permeate throughout the empire until Constantine would rise up and declare Christianity as the state religion. But now it's the reverse of that. It's going back to the conditions as they were then. This is all in preparation for the coming of Christ, which is the resurrection that's described in Daniel 12:1. And apparently in this way, Michael will be involved in the preparation for the second advent. As he was involved in the preparation of the first advent, the successful birth of Christ, the escape of Christ, the raising of Christ, and all that's pictured and figured for us in Revelation 12 with, again, Michael and his angels defeating the dragon at the same point in which Christ was born. That Michael stands by God's people is clear. That he is the one who actually destroys Antichrist, however, is not clear. Because it does say in 2 Thessalonians 2:8, then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume. Whom what? The Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. It is almost as though, even though Michael himself is the chief commander, the commander-in-chief in the angelic armies, Christ is the king. And when it comes to the son of perdition, when it comes to the son of the devil, Christ himself will strike him down. Michael will have made that preparation. And then the Lord, and then what will we hear? We will hear the voice of the archangel. And who is that? But Michael. The voice of the archangel, as though a trumpeting victory, a trumpet of conquest, a trumpet that announces the coming of the king at last, and a calling forth from the graves all the dead who have ever died, and a summoning up into heaven all who are alive and trust in Christ. The trumpet of the archangel. And so we find that we have some lessons that we can learn from this. It's this. I've got three for us. Brief. Tribulation is inevitable. It will not be restrained. It must come before the day of salvation. 2 Thessalonians 2:2 tells us that a falling away and a revelation of the man of sin must precede the appearance of Christ. That's the first thing we need to know. Nevertheless, number two, God has angelic agents that continue to protect and uphold his elect. They are ministering spirits. And though we endure tribulation, Christ has overcome the world, he has overcome the evil one, and Michael serves as foremost in the protection of Christ's people through it. Number three, therefore, when we see the evil one, or when we see evil ones rise up, it seemingly in the power of Satan, when they rise up in power, let us be confident that we have glorious ones under Michael's command who continue to minister to the heirs of glory. And let us give thanks to Christ because He is the one who commissions Him. He is the one who strikes down the son of perdition. He is the one who raises the dead. He is the one that will receive the crown. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, we thank You for how You have arranged the heavenly government and how comforting and encouraging it is that whereas Scripture doesn't pull any punches, it talks about real tribulation, we have the confidence of One who is a restrainer. And though taken away from the world, did not restrain the growth of evil in the world, He is always supporting God's people. And that He has been all given all access to heaven's angels in our protection. But Lord, lest we lose context in all of this, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is He who commands. It is He who commissions. And it is through His glory that Michael the archangel serves. And for this, O Lord, we give You our thanks and our praise and cast our hope and our cares upon You. Through Jesus Christ. Amen.